Thanks for that, Paul. Let's turn our Bibles this evening to Philippians chapter 4. And had something else in mind tonight, but the Lord reminded me of these verses this evening. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Nothing tonight will be new, just a good reminder. And just seems like for our church, there's just more need to pray than ever. And just thinking about the different situations that several of our people are going through, several of our church family. And I think about Annabelle tonight, who is still in hospital. They're still really not much closer to really knowing what's causing the seizures that she's going through. And just thinking about Joe and the girls, Elle and Liv, and just been burdened for them this week. I'm thinking about Brother Alex and Sister Elizabeth as they fly tomorrow and they head back to their field of Argentina, and just thinking about the arduous journey that they're going to take and the connections and just the length of time they've got to fly and then to head into Argentina and just make sure that the one committed to picking them up is going to be there and all of that. Thinking about just some in the hospital this week. Think about Nicole, who thankfully is home, but now has a long recovery as far as from her surgery and from just the week that she's had. And a couple of others, as I mentioned on Sunday, my sister Irene, and I spoke to John this afternoon, and they still haven't heard as far as the clinical trial is concerned, whether they're even going to be seen or whether that's going to be an option for them. And as I mentioned to the group that was here on Friday evening during our prayer night, the cancer the chemo hasn't done anything to the cancer. And so just there's a lot of burdens. And then obviously as the year has started for many of our students, just was thinking of them, a lot of them in their new stages of education, and then just things ahead. I thought about the Andersons this week, and just in a couple of weeks going to be heading and resettling into Geelong, and just the whole journey of that. Thinking about the Tingsons, who've come and they're part of our church now, and they're still looking for a home to be able to rent and get themselves established and settled here. So I've just been praying about that. And, you know, I think sometimes when we get busy in the mode of prayer, we might forget what prayer does. And we might forget that actually the great benefit of prayer was given us through the sacrifice of our Lord, who in his action on the cross, in completing that work, tore the temple veil. And because of that, we have the priesthood of us as believers, and we can come to the throne of grace with boldness. And I think sometimes we can get into the idea and the know-how and all of the actions of prayer without fully maybe being reminded of what it's about and what it does. And I know you're here tonight, and I think to a degree, we come to acknowledge the importance of prayer. And we come to acknowledge that we can come together in a setting like we see tonight, where there's a power in gathering together to pray. And yet in that we can become a little bit used to it and a little bit mechanical. And tonight won't be anything astounding really, but what we do have is the Word of God. That's a wonderful reminder. And there's great power in that, I think, in just being reminded about things we already know. So look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. And verse 6, a great memory verse: be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And just simple verses here that is a reminder for us of what prayer does. And the Apostle Paul, of course, was really writing to comfort a church that was reeling a bit, was comforting a church that it was dear to him. And there's many reminders there about the joy that we ought to have in Christ. But as part of that reminder, he tells them to not be full of care. He says, be careful for nothing. He's telling them that all of the cares that they're currently going through, the present situations, the circumstances, and can I remind you that Paul, even under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in writing this, was very much a man. He didn't know the hidden things of the heart. He didn't know all of the struggles that the people there in Philippi were going through. He knew some. He knew some of the things that he was made aware of. He understood that the church was going through an ordeal. But I also understand that as he wrote this, this was from the Holy Spirit giving to the church, being read to the church, the ones that were bearing those burdens. And he's saying to them, don't be full of care. And what prayer does, firstly, is prayer, I think, relieves us in our burden of care. You know, there is a great care in life, isn't there? You know, you walk around long enough and you see the general population. You see, even in a church setting like we do so often on a Sunday, that sometimes people come in with a great, great deal of burden. Some come in and it's obvious. You can see it in their body language. You can see it. You can see how the week has really pounded them, how the week has really overwhelmed them at times. You could see the care. While others, perhaps, are a little bit better. Maybe it wasn't so much care that week. Or there's just a way in which we can sometimes sort of manufacture a smile and put a facade on, when really deep down there's great cares and great burdens that we're concerned about. And many times we could, you know, fluctuate between one or the other. But here's what I'm saying. The reality is everyone has a burden. Everyone has a care they're carrying. Everyone here tonight had a situation or has a situation that's concerning them. And what prayer isn't a placebo. You know what a placebo is? It's just something that you do to, like, mentally trick you into thinking that it's okay, right? When sometimes you see the magic spray come out, you know, in sport, and they think, like, you know, a little bit of water, a little bit, and you think that's going to relieve it. What that is, it's just a placebo. But prayer is not a placebo. Prayer isn't just something we do to make us feel better. No, prayer is actual relief. Prayer is actually taking that burden and placing it on one who is the great burden bearer. And he's saying, be careful for nothing. He's saying, don't be full of care, because actually in inference there, he's saying there's someone that we pray to, the great God of heaven, who actually can bear the burden that sometimes we can't bear. I think, again, about some of the situations that are in our church, and I put myself in that situation, and I put myself in their place, and I think about how can anyone handle that? How can anyone go through watching your loved one suffer through a mysterious illness? And you know what I come back to? We have a great God who actually cares so much deeper than we would even care. We have someone, we have a God who's just has such a great love for his own that even in these moments where it doesn't seem so obvious, we see just God's unseen hand, the great burden bearer. And what prayer does is it relieves us. It relieves us of the burden of care. And we ought to care. We ought to care enough. I spoke to the group that was here, our church, who came to the half night of prayer, and I spoke about just agonizing with those who are going through some agony. I spoke about how the Lord Jesus, he said to his inner three, Peter, James, and John, where he said, just wait here, tarry here while I go and pray. And what he was really requesting was just for those three to care enough to stay up to pray with him. And yet, remember what he found? He comes back and they had fallen asleep. And, you know, that famous verse, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And how so often we can start off with a great sense of the burden. And after a while, after we pray, we don't sometimes continue with that sense of urgency and that sense of... And I think as we go on, we consider the fact that as we care and take the burden of others, that part of that burden carrying is actually just this mode of prayer, this privilege of prayer. And what prayer does, it relieves us in our burden of care. But secondly, notice what the Bible says there. It says, be careful for nothing, but then in everything by prayer and supplication. So prayer is your requests. Supplication is your request for others, right? And so he says, in supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And he's saying there, come and make requests. Come and share the burdens that you have and share the burdens that others have and come to me. But he's saying here, prayer and thanksgiving. And prayer and thanksgiving, it aids those requests in all things. He says, in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So when we pair our prayer with this whole attitude and this whole manner of thanksgiving, then we can approach him with all things. You know, I think about how thankful I would be and how thankful I've been when I've gone through a tremendous burden. It's hard to be thankful for the thing that you're going through. And I don't think the Bible's meaning that right here. I think this whole idea of thanksgiving is just to have an attitude that whilst you're going through a burden, there are other things and other ones, namely our God, namely who He is, that we ought to be thankful for. That actually, even in those moments that are pressing, we can still be thankful for who He is, and we can still be thankful for what He's already done, and we can still be thankful for the promises that He's given us. And so often, so much of the recorded prayers in the Bible also record the very words that are already in Scripture, a repetition and a reminder of who God is. And so often in our place of burden, the lightness that comes out of that has to be when we hold on to the very God whom we should be thankful for. When we have just an attitude of thankfulness to Him, that we firstly thank Him for all the good and all the graciousness and all of the comfort and all of the peace that He has provided and that He will provide. And we're thankful in our attitude even as we enter into a time of burden. And many times we can get busy with just sharing the need without pausing for a little bit and just refocusing our mind about the things that are things of thanksgiving. And what requests and thanksgiving paired, it allows all of those requests to come in all things. It says, in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And so what prayer does is allows us to focus in a little bit on areas that we can be thankful for. But then thirdly tonight, it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. What prayer does, thirdly, is it brings us peace beyond our understanding. And it's hard to understand, it's hard to fathom, it's hard to really get a grasp of things that are unknown. Things that we're grappling with in our own hearts. So how do we feel about it? What's gonna happen? But peace, the kind of peace that God offers, it passes all of that. You know, how do you have peace when there's unknowns? How do you have peace when you don't know how it's gonna work out? Well, it's only gonna come when we rely on the one who does know. When we get in touch with the one who does understand, when we go to the one who has all wisdom, and we go to the one who has every grace to offer us, And the Bible says here that as we go to him, we're careful for nothing. It says in verse 7, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding." You know, I often observe what my sister's going through. I often observe the manner in which she's responded to the trial that she and her family are going through. And you know what I find what's incredible? There's no earthly and logical reason for her to be peaceful about it. But God. I think about the statement she made to me. You know, I still think about it a lot. Where she said, you know, I asked her how she's doing one day. And she said this. She said, I'm sad, but I'm at peace. You know, those two things don't seem to match up, does it? Usually when we're sad, that means we're despondent, which means our lives are and our hearts are in turmoil. But she said she had both. She understood the reality of her situation, but in the midst of that, she also had peace. And I'll tell you what, there's no earthly reason for her to have peace. There's no logical reason. People who observe her, who don't understand God, who don't understand the access that we have to the one who is the Prince of Peace, they don't understand that statement. But we understand it with the viewpoint of this, that God is still very much in control. And God who can call the storm to be still. God who has our very lives within within his own hands can also provide us a great peace through the situations that we can't in our humanity find peace. It's in the supernatural. It's in the spiritual. It's in our standing with God. It's in that access to him. And he's saying here that peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And you know, so often when we're troubled by things and we can sometimes become agitated by the happenings of life, the very thing we're supposed to do is actually to seek for peace through prayer. We're supposed to come to him. We're supposed to come to the one who parted the veil, and now we have freedom and boldness to come before the Prince of Peace. And he offers us peace that passes all understanding. And then the last thing what prayer does is, notice the last bit of verse 7, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What it also does is, lastly, prayer keeps us close to Jesus. You know, the struggles at times that we go through is that in those moments our lives are in turmoil. We feel like the proverbial storm and we're being turned upside down, and we need anchoring, we need stability. And you know, there's nothing more stable than the rock of ages. There's nothing more stable to know that we have one in which we can anchor our lives on. There's nothing more calming to know that we can have our feet set upon a rock. There's nothing more stabilizing in our hearts and our minds to understand that we have one that we can look to who never changes, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have the Lord Jesus. And you know, the need of the hour when we go through difficult times is to stick close to Jesus, to stick close to him. You know what we want to do in our flesh? In our flesh, we want to question him. In our flesh, we want to find a reason or find our own reasoning. In our flesh, we want to deny all of the attributes that we know of him. But you know what we actually need when we go through hardship? When we go through things that we become full of care, is actually go to the one and be close to the one that can bear all of that for us and has borne all of that for us. The one that took all of our shame. The one that took all of our guilt. The one that sees us in our simplicity and our humanity the most.
the one who has the ability to come alongside us and to take all of that and to give us that peace. And we're supposed to be close. And what prayer does is it keeps us close to the mind, the heart, and just the person of Jesus Christ. And too often we overcomplicate it. We want to have various things that are in place. But you know what? If we would endure, the only place to endure is to be next to Jesus, to be close to Him. And so tonight, just a reminder that prayer is needful. And as you think about some of the needs, you think about what's ahead. You know, I was thinking about Brock and Chloe. They're getting married on Saturday. I was praying for them. I was praying for a great day. I was praying for their future marriage. I was praying for God's fruitfulness in their lives. And I was praying for our young people, and many of those who have told me they're just their hearts are opening up to what God has for them, or some seeking God's will. And I was praying for them this week. I was praying for some of the things coming up as far as efforts for missions. I know that the group's going to PNG, and I was praying for them. I was praying for our missionaries. We were just talking about missions during our staff meeting today. We were talking about just the need to re-engage and reconnect with missions. And I was just praying about that. I was praying for our missionaries. And I'm saying that so often when we're in the habit and mode of prayer, we forget what a special thing it is. And let's get back to it with a renewed heart of faith, because God has gifted us with this very, very powerful, very, very unique to us, very, very needful weapon in our arsenal, this gift of prayer. And that's what prayer does. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have tonight to come to you. And Father, I know, Lord God, that we too often will take for granted, Lord, at least I know I do, just the ability that we have to come before your throne of grace and to make requests to you, dear Lord. And Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight to just remember those that, Lord, not only are going through some things, but our brothers and sisters in Christ, those who, Lord, you've called us to walk alongside, to, Lord, to be their church family, Lord, for those that, Lord, you've set all of us in this same body. I pray that you'd help us, dear God, to just intercede with a greater fervor, knowing what prayer does. And I pray that you'd help us even tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name.